transportation, roads, and people. A speech made in 1927. The bicycle transformed our children, and our children will change us into a different nation. Before the bicycle was invented, village boys were practically not allowed to venture into another village. It was often a theme of folk songs, which will continue to be sung by future generations. Don't go to Polanka, my son. They could kill you there for a maiden. Young men in the villages kept their maidens for themselves and did not let them flirt with strangers. Frequent intermarriages within one village often led to degeneration, practically always to a miserable existence. The bicycle shuffled all this and changed our lives. It made distances shorter and drew people closer together. It gave wings to our constant wish to move around, to travel, to discover new countries, and to meet new people. And when people started to use their brains instead of their legs in order to make wheels move faster, that is, when they invented the motor, distances stopped to be an obstacle. Soon, however, another obstacle appeared, namely the road. Our roads were surveyed by people who never knew a bicycle, not to mention an automobile. They did not particularly care about visit. It was usually the first wagoner using the road leading from inn to inn and winding its way across small hills. This is the road network we have inherited from our fathers. Our roads are a constant obstacle to the improvement of travel and transportation conditions of individuals and the entire country. To straighten our roads, at least the most winding ones, would require approximately 2 billion crowns. To pave or asphalt them would cost another 8 billion. The bicycle is inexpensive, and yet it managed to improve people's lives. Can the value of improved conditions of human life be measured in money? Would not the entire nation be ready to pay the high price of a bicycle made of pure gold if it brought improvement? How fast could good roads improve the quality of life of the entire nation and of our national economy? Would not those 10 billion that our descendants will be paying off seem to them as a negligible sum, not even worth mentioning? Will they not consider us as worthless creatures wallowing in mud and dirt, unworthy of human dignity? Will the new generations be able to understand why we hesitated to get rid of that mud by building new roads? Why do we have so little courage to live a dignified life, so little faith in our children and in human capabilities? At the time, young men were killing each other for girls. Learned men were sitting at their desks and writing thick books about better living conditions of humanity. Later, their ideas were discussed at various congresses and even appeared as new laws. It was the bicycle, however, that brought them to everyday life of ordinary people. Such is human nature. Things and actions bring more changes than the most persuasive words. Elevate the people and the economy will rise by itself. If in order to elevate our people, we would need pure gold instead of stones to pave our roads, we should not hesitate and use the gold. Because there is no better business than the one offering people the possibility of improved productivity, leading to higher national prosperity.